I want you to turn with me to Psalm 135, Psalm 135, verses 5 and 6. We read these words. I know that the Lord is great, that our Lord is greater than all gods. The Lord does whatever pleases Him in the heavens and on the earth, in the seas and all their depths. And so the question we start off with is, can God do anything? The text says that God does whatever pleases Him. We've already referred to Genesis 18 and verse 14, where this question is asked, is anything too hard for God? And the obvious answer, the implied answer, is no, that nothing is too hard for God. Then all of a sudden we encounter people who sometimes, I think, delight in raising these impossible kinds of questions. If God can do anything, then can God make a square into a triangle? Maybe you've heard this one. Can God make a stone too heavy for Himself to lift? Have you ever encountered those kinds of questions? You see, if we say He can't make a stone too heavy for Him to lift, then we have created a category of that which He cannot do. And so it's kind of a no-win situation, the way the question is asked. It's kind of like asking the question, have you quit beating your wife? There's no good answer to that question. Either way, you're implicated. If you say no, it implies you still are, and if you say yes, it implies that you have. Can God abolish the past? You know, and all of these kinds of questions are sort of sophomoric questions. What they're doing is they're assuming that God can contradict His own nature. 2 Timothy 2 verse 13 says that God cannot deny Himself. Therefore, we cannot pit one attribute of God against another. Yes, God is almighty. He's all-powerful. But His power cannot override His truth. And so, therefore, God cannot lie. Well, that almost seems to be a contradiction. God can do anything. But you see, you can't pit one attribute against another. So the correct answer to the question really is that God can do anything that's consistent with His nature. God is almighty. Sometimes we say He's omnipotent or He is sovereign. Certainly that is true. However, God may not always see fit to use His sovereignty. Not everything that happens is His plan. Not everything that happens has been ordained by God. Otherwise, we run into tremendous difficulty in explaining how God can love us if God has ordained all of the evil things that happen in our world today. So as we look at the Scripture, there are at least two passages in the Bible that tell us God cannot do something. There are at least two passages in the Bible that tell us that we cannot do something to God. And so let's look at those. The first is in Malachi 3:6, where it says, I, the Lord, do not change. God does not change in His nature. God cannot change for the better because He is already absolutely perfect. And perfection cannot be improved on. And so God cannot improve. We can. But God cannot improve. God cannot change for the worse because then He would not be absolutely perfect. And so God is unchangeable, immutable is sometimes the word that we use. But everything else around us does change, doesn't it? You know, you take a job and in just a few years, things are completely different than the way it was when you went there. The year was 1844, and Henry J. Ellsworth was then the commissioner of the United States Patent Office when he resigned. Ellsworth resigned the U.S. Patent Office in 1844, and here is his rationale for quitting. He says, mankind has already achieved all of which it is capable. There will be no more inventions requiring patents. That's a direct quote. 1844, that was before the electric light bulb was invented. That was before the telephone was invented. But Ellsworth was so impressed with the level of sophistication. In 1844, he says, we cannot exceed that. Well, if he could only come back today, he wouldn't recognize the world that he lived in back then. Everything still changes. I know that there are some, maybe Amish or Mennonite-type cultures that want to live in the past. But the good news is we do not have to be afraid of change. We don't have to be afraid of progress because God remains our constant point of reference. Everything else around us changes, including we ourselves. We look in the mirror and wonder sometimes what has happened. But everything changes except God. And the good news is that God does not change. He cannot change because he is perfect. Now, the second area that God cannot be involved with is lying. Titus 1 verse 2 declares that God does not lie. But there's even a stronger reference in Hebrews 6 and verse 18. It says that it is impossible for God to lie. Now that almost seems like a contradictory statement because we've established so many places in Scripture that God can do anything. But the Bible tells us here that God cannot lie. Now he cannot lie because he is light and in him is no darkness at all. And so we can count on God as being absolute truth and the source of all truth. God cannot lie. It's interesting that when you go to a court of law, if you're sworn in, you will be asked something like this. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? That last phrase is an appeal to a higher authority. Do you swear under the authority of God that you will not lie? Now, the question is, who does God swear by? And that's not a silly question. That's a question that is addressed in Hebrews chapter 6. There in Hebrews 6, we're told that it is impossible for God to lie. And we're told in that chapter that when God made his promise to Abraham in verse 13, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself. God appealed to his own authority. And God had promised Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And who curses you, I will curse. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. Now, who's going to enforce that? God makes the promise, and God says, I will enforce the promise upon myself. It is impossible for me to lie. A promise like this is called a covenant. And whether we use the word contract or covenant or a vow, it is possible for human beings to make very solemn oaths or vows or covenants or contracts and then to break them. But God cannot break his own word. Romans 1:31 speaks of covenant breakers. But elsewhere in Romans 3 and verse 4, it says, if every man is a liar, God will still uphold his word. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Even if every person, even if everyone you have ever trusted has let you down and has proven themselves to be false and untrustworthy, you can trust God. The reason you can trust him is because his very name, Yahweh, means the God who keeps covenants. God keeps his promises with us. Now the Bible, we refer to it as the Old and New Testament, but we could just as well refer to it as the Old and New Covenant. We have the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. They are the Holy Scriptures, and they cannot lie because they are the Word of God. Over in the book of Isaiah, he said that we're not to consult mediums and psychics. We're not to consult those who profess to tell us the future. But Isaiah says to the law and to the testimony. That is to the word of God. God's word is the standard of truth. and all other truth claims must be tested against the Word of God. Now, not only did God make a covenant with Abraham, but in Ephesians it says, we who are Gentiles, we who are strangers from the covenants of promise, have been brought into covenant through the blood of Christ. And so in Hebrews 6 it says that those who have fled to God for refuge can take courage. We can live with hope and confidence because of His covenant and because of His oath. I purposely picked that hymn this morning, The Solid Rock. There's a verse in there that says, His oath, His covenant, His blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all everything else, when all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. And so we stand on the solid rock, Christ Jesus. We stand on the authority of God's Word. We stand on the absolute truthfulness of God. How would you like to do business with someone who cannot go back on their word? Well, that's the relationship we have with God. And when we enter into covenant with God, when we're saved, we ratify that with the covenant or the sacrament of baptism. Whenever we have the Lord's Supper, we are reaffirming our covenant with God. When we bring our children to God for dedication and christening and baptism, and I'm always excited when those opportunities come. Again, that opportunity will come the end of this month. And when the parents of little Addison bring him and dedicate him and christen him and baptize him, they are entering into a covenant with God. And God keeps His covenant. God keeps His promise. It is impossible for God to violate His own word because it would be a violation of His own nature. God is truth. He is all truth, and for Him to violate that claim of truth would be for Him to go contradictory against His own nature. And so, you know, in a world of changing values, in a world when you don't know who you can trust, you know, if you're trying to decide who to vote for, you turn on the TV, and one candidate is blasting the other, and then the second candidate is blasting the first, and it's real easy to say, well, I don't know if I trust any of them. But the fact is, God can be trusted. God cannot break His own word. Now, let's go on over to the book of James. And there in James 1:13, it says God cannot be tempted. It says not only God cannot be tempted, nor does He tempt anyone. And so God is not in the business of tempting people or enticing them to sin. Now, if you were the devil, how would you tempt God? You see, the way we tempt any person, the way any of us are tempted, is that we are enticed by something we want but do not have. We are enticed by our own desires and our own appetites. And the very fact that we have needs sets us up for temptation. But you see, God is in a different category because God has no needs. God is perfectly self-sufficient. There is nothing that God lacks. And so there is no there's no inroad by which God can be tempted because there's nothing that we could appeal to God that He doesn't already have in Himself. God cannot be corrupted. That's the good news. His holiness resists any invitation to sin. He has no sinful nature through which temptation can appeal. And so I just conclude that God is impeachable. There's nothing in God's nature that can cause Him to be corrupted. And every so often, we go on the internet and we find that some preacher has been arrested for all kinds of gross and unspeakable immoralities, and I always cringe when I see those things because I know it's a reflection on the church. I hate it when I see those things happen. But I know that every one of us are vulnerable. It's possible that any of us could sin. But you see, it's impossible that God would ever sin. the bottom line is, God can be trusted. He will never succumb to temptation or to sin because there's nothing in his nature that would need those things. Let me go on to say that God's Spirit enters into us and has promised to lead us and guide us. God will never lead us to do anything that contradicts his word. The Spirit will not lead you to do things that are unholy. When we're drawn into sin, James says we're drawn in by our own sinful desires. And when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Our temptation is that we think we can get by. We think we can do it and not get caught. Our temptation is to rationalize or justify or say, well, it's not so bad. I don't think it's sinful. I've even had people tell me straight up that things that the Bible said definitely were wrong. They said they thought God understood. Well, I'm sure God does understand, but God doesn't justify that kind of rationalization. That leads me to the last point. Galatians 6:7 says God cannot be mocked. Galatians 6:7 is this very serious warning. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, the temptation is always this, that we can sow to the flesh, that we can sow to our sinful desires, but it will not catch up with us. No one will ever know, and we can get by. But the Bible says that God is not mocked. If you think you can break God's law and get by, you are mocking God. Now, in the real sense of the word, if I was to take Joel and put him up on the very top of this roof, and he fell off, would he break the law of gravity? In the truest sense, the law of gravity would not be broken. It would be his leg that was broken. We do not break God's law. God's law will break us if we think that we can mock God and defy what he says. You see, many people do mock God. You're going to hear people mock God or defy God on a regular basis. The fact is that we cannot mock God and get by. Proverbs 1:30 says, those who do not accept God's counsel and spurn his rebuke, those who mock God will come to destruction. And so, as I heard my preacher say growing up, you cannot sow your wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. They used to say on Saturday night, people went out and sowed their wild oats and then came to church on Sunday to pray that they would have a crop failure. Well, the bottom line is you cannot ignore God. When we sow to the flesh, the Bible says we will reap destruction. Those who are sinning, those who are willfully and deliberately rebelling against God, are not getting by. And the bottom line is you'll not get by in this life, nor will you get by in the life to come. Just as simply as I can say it, God means what he says. And any person who thinks that they can be an exception to the rule, we all think we're exceptions, don't we? I knew the title of a book one time was this, God, I have sinned, but I have some very excellent excuses. We sometimes think that we've got some kind of get-out-of-jail-free card that's going to exempt us, but In the final analysis, no one has been deceived or fooled except us. God will not be mocked, and so whatever we sow, that is what we will reap. Now, we've learned something this morning about the very nature of God. We've learned that God is consistent, that God keeps his word. And in the end, there are really no surprises, are there? Now, I've got one final question to ask you as we reflect on the nature of God, on what he's like. This consistency of God, this fact that God cannot lie, that God cannot change, that God doesn't grade on the curve. When we get to the day of judgment, God is not going to make a public announcement that I know in the Bible I said that you should not do this, this, and this, but actually I was just trying to bluff you, and really I'm going to throw it all out the window, and I'm going to let everyone in. Would that be good news? Actually, if you think it through for very long, it would not be very good news, because if God let all that sin into heaven, heaven would soon be turned into hell, and we'd have people wanting to get out because it was no better than what was here on earth. The good news is that God is consistent, that God keeps His Word. And so if He doesn't change, that means we'll have to change, doesn't it? If He doesn't lie, that means we need to quit deceiving ourselves, lying to ourselves. If He is not tempted, that means that we need to learn through His Spirit and grace to resist temptation. And we need to learn to take God seriously. He says what He means, and He means what He says. Now, the final question is this. Does that consistency in God's nature, does that give you great security or great anxiety? You see, for the person who's living by faith, we've never seen God, we've never seen heaven. People say, oh, you talk about all that pie in the sky. How do you know it's really going to be there? I'll tell you how we know is because we know the nature of God. God cannot lie. Just last week, I went into a certain place to get breakfast, and as I was meditating over my choices, there was a ham sandwich that looked awfully good, and I ordered the thing, and when I got it, I almost took it up and held it up against the sign. There was no comparison between what I had and the picture that was on the sign. Now, we laugh about that because that's a regular occurrence, isn't it? Deceptive advertising. Well, do you ever wake up in the middle of the night and say, what if heaven's not as good as it's supposed to be? Just to use the language I was raised with, what if it's not all it's cracked up to be? People used to say that. Say, well, I went to the beach and saw all these advertisements and all these signs, but it wasn't all it was cracked up to be. What if we spend all of this time and energy to get to heaven and find out that it's not nearly as good as it was supposed to be? You ever worry about things like that? Well, let me tell you, don't. Because the very nature of God says He cannot lie. It's impossible that we would be disappointed, that we would be deceived. And you see what a comfort that is. We can live with security. We can live with certainty. We know that some things are absolutely true. But on the other hand, there's this great anxiety that should come to the hearts of those who think they're getting by. There's people this morning who say, I know all that's in the Bible, but I don't think God is going to be as rough as He sounds like He is. I think that God is a loving God, and He'll let us all in. You see, the problem with that is we're pitting God's love against His justice. Yes, God is a loving God, but He's also a just God. And yes, He loves us, but He also speaks the truth. And He's told us ahead of time that if we sow to the flesh, we'll reap corruption. So that ought to create great anxiety for any person who is hoping to get by, hoping for a loophole, hoping that somehow God does not mean what He says. The one thing we can tell for sure about God is that He is trustworthy, He's consistent. That's good news for every one of us who are banking on that. Let's pray that God will make us trustworthy and consistent. And help us to keep covenant with Him. He'll never break covenant with us. But the possibility is that we can break covenant with Him and forfeit all of His promises. Let's stand and bow our heads as we close this morning. Heavenly Father, we rejoice in Your nature. We rejoice in the consistency of who You are and Your character. We thank You that You do not change. The God who thousands of years ago made promises and covenants with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, we thank You that we can enter into those covenants today, that we can be the recipients of what you have promised. And we know that your promises will not fail nor disappoint, but we thank you that we can trust you. The real question is, can you trust us? And we know that we're untrustworthy, that we're sinners, until you change us. And I pray that you will work a change in our heart and make us all that we ought to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.